susan.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
IRN USA Radio U.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of David Bay of Cutting Edge, and we're going to be talking about Masonry. We're going to be talking about secret societies. Now, to the average individual, why the idea of secret societies is so very foreign. Well, yeah, we know about the Masons, but they're not really a secret society. I know Masons. They're nice people. But of course, if you talk to them and talk about secret societies, they'll say, we're not a secret society. We're a society with secrets. But the truth of the matter is that they are a secret society, and that basically I don't think that the average Mason really understands what he is sworn to support. But David Bay, of course, has participated in production of this DVD. It's a fascinating DVD going into the meanings of the oaths that the Masons take when they enter the lodge. David, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan. It's good to be here.
Why don't you just pick up the story and express to our listeners why you are concerned about Masonry and why they should be concerned, though the fact we have a couple of million Americans who belong to a secret society founded in what I believe is a very, very dangerous religion.
Well, yes, Freemasonry is very dangerous. It's actually a combination of the old Babylonian and Egyptian mysteries with the Chaldean mysteries thrown into it. And they revere all these old religions. And what makes that really troubling to a Bible-believing Christian is God cursed all these religions. And he destroyed them all in the Old Testament. And here Freemasonry comes along several thousand years later, and it's revering these cursed Old Testament religions. And teaching its doctrines and doing its practices. For example, Freemasonry is really a sun god worshiping religion that specifically worships the god Baal. And so, you know, it's insidious because they've been able to hide almost all of this under layers and layers and layers of meanings and double meanings and denials and you know, laughing it off and people wanting to believe the best. But over the last 16 years, I've had women call me consistently, a wife or a mother, and they'll say, you know, Mr. Bay, my husband or my son wants to join the local lodge simply for the business contact. There's really no danger in the first 3 degrees, right? And of course, there's incredible danger. That's where you become bound to Freemasonry, is in the first degree. So I asked Bill Schneblin, who was a former Satanist. He was a member of a Druid coven, and his coven leader encouraged him to join Freemasonry, which he did. So since he was a member of both a Luciferian coven and Freemasonry, I asked him to create a unique DVD, and we call it Freemasonry Fatal in the First Degree, in which we, you know, in which he examines Freemasonry simply from that first ritual, the first Blue Lodge ritual.
All right, fine. Well, our guest this evening is David Begg. We're talking about Masonry, and ladies and gentlemen, this is something we should be very, very aware of and very, very concerned about. We'll be back in just a moment with David.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
This is David Bay of Cutting Edge Ministries, and David is simply saying that a careful analysis of the first degree of Masonry is actually, this is a marriage to the god of Baal, and basically it is sort of you're giving your soul to Baal, and Baal is the sun god, and basically this is what's happening. The average Mason has no idea what they're doing when they join the Masonic Lodge and swear the oaths that are involved in certainly the first degree. Now, basically, in the DVD that we're going to be discussing this evening that David has produced, Bill Snevlin, who is both a Druid and certainly a Mason, certainly goes through the whole meaning of the introduction to Masonry, and that is in the first degree. David, pick the story up and take it from there.
Okay, right away, he marries Baal, and that's why at the end of the ritual, the Master Mason instructs the warden to loose the coil or the cord that's around the initiate's neck, because, quote, he is bound to the lodge by a force far greater than a physical cord. No kidding. He is bound by the spiritual power of Satan. and he has no idea. You know, the old, when I was a kid growing up in the 50s, there was a song there, maybe it was Elvis Presley, it was entitled Fools Rush In Where Angels Fear to Tread. And that's exactly what this entails. I mean, no person who's thinking about joining the lodge ever thinks that he may be binding himself spiritually and setting himself on a firm road to hell. I mean, nobody thinks about that. In fact, this idea that there's no danger in the first three degrees is insidious, and it has to come from an argument that the lodge has made over the years and is being popularly accepted. So that's what happens in the ritual. He's actually married the god Baal. And then there's more horror to it, because now he's demonically possessed, and he comes home from the ritual that night. As he walks in the door, the demonic host walks in with him, and he's given him permission to be there. And so, you know, the demons inside of him begin to afflict or possess the wife, the children, and begins to try to destroy every relationship in that home. So these wives and mothers who call me and asking me if there's any danger in the first three degrees, they're horrified when they find out that they could personally become possessed by what their husband just did at the lodge. And this, you know, I have a family. I know a family intimately whose father was a Freemason. And I'm telling you that their relationships are all terrible. They hate each other. They fight. They, you know, and they can't stay married to, they've got, you know, the children have three and four marriages apiece. And there's just no peace in that house of any of the children. There was no peace when the father and mother were alive. And the dad was both a Mason and a deacon in the Southern Baptist Church. And that, you know, that is another problem that we address in this DVD, because, you know, the last church of the church age is the Laodicean church. And it's the lukewarm church. It's the church that has a pretense of Christianity, but no power thereof. And they're so lukewarm, the Lord spits them out of the mouth. And Bill goes into great detail and very convincing detail in which he shows that the advent of this lukewarm church in the latter part of the church age has coincided with the 20th century revival of Freemasons. And I think he's right on the money. When Freemasonry teaches that yes, they revere the Holy Bible, but they also on the same basis they revere the Quran and the Hindu Bibles and all the other sacred books of all the other religions. And so, why would the leadership, you know, if it's Masonic leadership of a church, why would they be on fire to go witness for Jesus Christ and try to win souls? Nobody's really going to hell, after all. You know, the Masons, when they die, they go to the Grand Lodge, in the heavens, and eventually everybody will wind up going to heaven. They teach a real universalism. So they really seed a lot of leaven in the church, and it was one of Satan's greatest victories over the genuine church when he was able to seed so many Masons in his pastors and deacons and church leaders. And the Southern Baptist Church is just. It's just really, really complicit in it. They are the number one denomination. it has, you know, it's contributed mightily to the lukewarm nature of this last Thursday.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think one reason why Christianity is so much trouble in America today is because so many of the Masons go to church on a regular basis, but they have already committed themselves to a different God. The God of Masonry is the great architect of the universe, who is certainly not the God of the Bible. And the average Mason really doesn't understand, because nobody ever tells him. And it takes, I mean, I've talked to Masons who've come out of Masonry, but of course it's that they're very, very reluctant to go, say, onto television or onto radio to talk about it. They really fear for their lives. And I've talked to Masons who said, you know, they agree that they've left the lodge, but they're afraid to talk about it. And the average individual doesn't understand. We're dealing with literally several million people in America today who are members of the lodge. Do we have any idea how many of the people Americans or Masons today, David?
I'm not sure. You know, the roles are kept really secret, and I really have not.
Well, I mean, it used to be about 4 million. We know it was down at one time to 2 million. But basically, everything is secret about this. And it is a secret society. And they say, well, we're not really a secret society. We're just a society with secrets. And, of course, those secrets are, of course, that they worship basically Lucifer or Baal.
Well, you know, you can see this, Stan. If you get a copy of Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, you read that, and at every one of the level there, they're teaching the doctrines and the history of one of the old mystery satanic religions. And why would they do that? I mean, God cursed those religions. He cursed them bad. He destroyed them ultimately. And why would anybody now be studying that stuff and learning their doctrines and learning their ways? You know, that should be a huge red flag without anybody having to say anything to a person. You know, a Christian should just say, what am I doing, and what kind of an organization is this really? So then Bill goes into the subject of sexual lust, because if you're worshiping God, if you're worshiping Baal, and you've got all these obelisks all over the place, you've got, you know, an obelisk is Baal's aroused shaft, and you've got them, you've got it in Washington D.C. called the Washington Monument. They're everywhere throughout city and town squares. They're the graveyards of mainline denominations are sprinkled with these things.
You're speaking now of obelisks.
I'm speaking of an obelisk.
Right,
yes.
Go ahead.
And they're everywhere, and Masons really revere them, which is why many of them put an obelisk as their headstone. And God, in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, if you read I read my study Bible every morning is a parallel version. It's got the King James on the left and the Amplified on the right. And the Amplified is very clear, you know, that on numerous occasions, God ordered righteous kings to clean up Baal worship and kill the priests and drive them all out, destroy their altars and their obelisks. On the King James, it says pillars. But in the Amplified, it says obelisk. So God hated the obelisk enough that he ordered it destroyed. And it is a symbol of sexual lust. And Bill said that, and he's right, because I know this to be true from this family that I've talked about. That when you demonically possess on the first ritual, some of the demons that come inside you are, you know, stir you to sexual lust. And it's quite common for many Masons, not all now, but many Masons to actually abuse their own children.
And see, the difficulty is that the Masons talk just like everybody else. They just they go to the lodge, and it's, you can get ahead. It's a, this is a means of making these social contacts. And to most Masons, it is simply a camaraderie. They have a good time with the other men. I said it is good financially. It's good to get ahead in the community. You become well known. What people really don't understand is the powerful spiritual forces that date back into antiquity. And you're talking about the Knights Templar and the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists and the Illuminists. And certainly Albert Pike talks about all of this in his book, Morals and Dogma.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try ProPax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Hold that thought there for a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is David Bay of Cutting Edge. We're simply talking about the men entering the first degree of masonry. And so David's simply pointing out that when you take on the first degree of masonry, you're opening yourself up to demonic possession. You're actually pledging to marry, to Baal, and basically, I mean, you make all of these agreements, and so there's a tremendous symbolism in it, and the Mason has no idea, or at least the recruit has no idea what he's doing, and the churches today are not warning Christians against getting involved in Masonry. The churches today are not warning people, members, about the spiritual battle that is taking place in society. And basically, of course, if you get into the background of Masonry, it comes out of the ancient Knights Templar around in the 1100s. And then, of course, we have the Rosicrucians came along in the 1400s. And then, of course, we have the Illuminati. We have a Masonry. We have all sorts of occult organizations, the Theosophists. They're all tied together, and they all have a common goal and a common base, of course, in the world occult religions. And most people don't know about it because it's not discussed on television, and the churches are certainly failing in their obligation to warn people against the temptations that are there to get ahead financially and politically and socially, but at a tremendous price. Go right ahead, David.
Well, wives really need to take a stand on it. And if their husband's already in the lodge, they now know why there's so much trouble in that house. And they just need to, you know, doctor. One great thing about this DVD is that toward the end of it, Bill Snebelin goes through deliverance prayer that will deliver anyone already caught up in this, or anybody already possessed, or they're, you know, and if the husband is already a member of the lodge. Bill tells him how to resign from the lodge and how to spiritually cleanse himself from all this demonic activity and his family. So we offer a solution here, as well as pointing out, you know, the terror of it all, because millions of people are already caught up in it. And this idea of ruined relationships in the family, and then later on in the extended family as the children get married, it's so common. It's not deniable at all. And, I've known enough families in this situation that I can tell you from firsthand knowledge that this actually goes on. So that's one of the aspects of the dangers of Freemasonry. But then there. Bill goes into another real danger, and that is that shortly after a man has gone through the first degree, he is asked, or, you know, it's demanded of him actually by his superior officers in the lodge that he sit down with a more senior man, and they go through this arduous memorization of exercise, and the lodge calls it posting. And what they do is they are memorizing, absolutely rote memorizing long sections of text in which they are professing belief, they are studying history, they're just memorizing a lot of the heart and soul of what is Freemasonry, and they find the most men find this memorization very difficult because the language seems strange and seems arcane and archaic. And what Bill says, what's happening here is that their minds are beginning to be changed. It's like when your computer gets a computer virus that works slowly. You know, the computer starts to be showing the effects of the virus, you know, maybe not until two or three weeks after it's received the virus. And the virus slowly spreads through the whole computer until finally it's just you know, the whole, it's gotten into the registry and your computer really cooked. Well, this is what posted. And they literally changed their mind. And so they are not the same person. They're not the same person that married that young gal way back with. He's not the same father that he was. His mind is the same.
And Chris, basically, of course, this as we begin to get into the spiritual world, these people are without even realizing it, they're being brainwashed to be ready to enter this other spiritual world. We'll be back in a moment with David Bay right here at Radio Liberty.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so did David is even talking about how we have, of course, a number of Masons in the highest echelons of the Catholic Church. At one time, of course, if you were found as a Catholic to be a Mason, you'd be excommunicated. Well, certainly the evidence is that there's a great deal of Masonry and secret Masonic lodges all through the hierarchy of the Catholic Church today because their purpose and goal was to destroy Christianity. And that is the true purpose of, one of the true purposes of Masonry. And this subversive organization permeates every aspect of our society today. David, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry and how they can get copies of this DVD that you put together with Bill Snevelin and William Still and certainly a number of people that are Christian leaders today trying to warn of the danger of Masonry as it permeates Christianity and attacks Christianity from within?
Yes, you can go to Cutting Edge Ministries at www.cuttingedge.org. And then when you're there on that on the home page, you look in the vertical left column, and the first colored button says DVDs and seminars and books. Click on that, take it to the bookstore, and then you type in Fatal. And that's all you got to do is type in Fatal in the search box, and it'll take you right to the DVD Fatal in the First Degree.
Fatal in the First Degree is the
title. Freemasonry Fatal in the First Degree.
Freemasonry Fatal in the First Degree. Now, if you have a question or comment for our guest, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But basically, the whole idea is to change the worldview of these people who join the lodge, a lot of them simply for business advantage, a lot of them for the camaraderie that comes with being part of a men's organization. And certainly nobody is going to tell them what they're doing. In fact, they have no idea what they're doing. And even the meaning of many of the things that that they agree to in the First Degree. And certainly there are lots of things happening. The fellow is blindfolded, and of course he's being talked to. And he's asked to agree. He's even being basically told what to say by, of course, the people who are there with him. And so basically, have you talked to people, David, who've been through the ritual and...
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what they actually tell you? Because they there's nothing they can do. They're blindfolded. They got a noose around their neck. Their shirts open.
Have you ever been to a water park stand and you get to the very top of that chute, right? And you've got up until the time when you release and start your way down, you've got a choice. You can still back away from this thing, but once you release and you start down that chute, you're in it for the ride, right? Well, that's the way it is in this ritual. You know, the time for asking questions about what you're doing is before they blindfold you, before they dress you up, before you walk into a supercharged religious atmosphere that's just, you know, charged with demonism. And it exerts a very powerful force on you. Once you have that tow rope around your neck and you're blindfolded and you take them through the ritual, you're in it for the ride. You're going through it. And I don't know of any person that has suddenly run out of the lodge at that point because once you start down that path, of, you know, in that ritual, you're just going to go through it. But what is amazing to me is that most men, and women are this way too, but we're talking about men in the lodge. Most men will make life-changing decisions based on little or no pre-thought. No thought beforehand. And certainly no research. That is one of the spiritual dangers. They don't realize the danger they're in, and they go through. They agree to this thing, and they show up at the lodge, and they get dressed, and they go into the room, and they start this ritual, and they've given almost no thought to what they're doing.
Amen to that. Well, we've got Jay calling from Soquel, California. Jay, do you have a question for our guest? Jay, are you there?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, your guest knew anything about the clampers, the eclampusitis, and I was going to call off the air, and the clampers, eclampusitis.
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. What was your question?
I was wondering, I guess they about the clampers, eclampusitis, and they're like an affiliation with the information that they have any, the clampers.
I don't know anything about that. Do you know anything at all about that, David?
No, I don't.
Okay, fine. I can't answer your question there, Jay. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. Thanks.
Okay, fine. Well, listen, if you have a question for our guest, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. David, certainly years ago when we first started our ministry, we used to talk about masonry a good deal. And I think that we certainly had influence on many people, but we sort of forgotten that, really. We haven't done a program on Masonry in some time, which is one reason why I was so anxious to have you on to talk about this subject. What sort of response are you getting to this information revealing what is going on and what Masonry is really all about, and the fact that the great architect of the universe under no circumstances could ever be considered to be part of or parcel of the God of the Bible?
Well, people have been enthusiastic. It depends on the person's personal circumstance as to their reaction. If their husband or their father is already in the lodge, they're horrified. They had no idea as what the ramifications could and would be from all this. But, you know, many of them are saying to me, you know, now I know why my husband changed the way he did. Now I know why we've had so much personal trouble in our household. Why? Now we know why our daughter became sexually active when she was very young, and our son is on drugs, and you know, rebellion in the house, and so that's why we made sure that Bill provided the spiritual answer for these people. We don't want them to think that there's no answer. There is. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit will banish these demons out of the man and out of the house. Now, if the wife or the mother is, you know, has a loved one that is just thinking about joining the lodge and hasn't done it yet, that woman just digs her heels in real hard and says, over my dead body, will you join that lodge? And that's the hope, that was the response we're hoping for. That, you know, generally speaking, most women have a very undefined ill feeling about it. They can't put their finger right on it. They don't like the idea of all these secrets. They don't like the idea of all these rituals and all these things they've heard about Masonry over the years. It's just, you know, they don't like the idea, but they can't put up an organized defense against it. And that's what this DVD does. Is it puts up an organized defense. Now you've got the facts. And now, if you're the wife of a man who's contemplating joining the lodge, your spiritual future is in danger. Because you can, and it's quite common for the wife to become possessed by her husband. And so it's... The response has been very good, but it does, you know, it is different from where the wife or the mother is in the, you know, in the relationship, you know, in the situation.
Is there a telephone number that people can call if they'd like to get a copy of the DVD? Because some people don't have a computer, so is there a telephone number to call?
1-800-451-8211.
Have to repeat it twice because people never get it the first time.
All right, 1-800-451-8211.
And David has all sorts of wonderful DVDs and books and that go into the background, but an awful lot of DVDs on all aspects of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged today. Most people really don't understand what's going on. Most people look at what's happening politically, and most people look at what's happening financially. And most people certainly look and see what's happening certainly from a military point of view throughout the world. But very few people look at what's going on today from a spiritual point of view. And if you don't look at it from a spiritual point of view, a little that's going on really makes sense. And you can tell me all the things going on over the Middle East, and you try to explain them from a logical point of view, and they're not logical. When you understand them from a spiritual point of view and from a prophetic point of view, why, of course, they do make sense. Because basically, ladies and gentlemen, I personally believe we are living in truly prophetic times. What about that, David? Do you think we're living in prophetic times?
Absolutely. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that when you see the fig tree starting to put out his tender shoots, you know that you know the prophetic time is nigh. And that fig tree was Israel. So when Israel came back to her land in May of 1948, the end of the age was upon us. And we've seen since then, we've seen all of the end time prophecies starting to occur as a unit. They're starting, one after another is just unfolding across the world. And of course, one of the biggest prophetic events is the fulfillment of Daniel 7:7-8, where Daniel saw that all the nations of the world were reorganized into 10 supernations, each one with a leader. And after those nations were formed, Antichrist arose. And the Club of Rome in 1972 published a plan to reorganize the world in 10 supernations, each one with a leader. And, the North American Union is supernation number one in this plan. The European Union is nation number two. And then they just go systematically, cover the entire geographical world. But all we have to do is watch the progress of these 10 nations. And we do this literally every single day in our daily news update section. We update the progress of this 10 nation reorganization.
We have a question that's been submitted. Are the Masons behind the establishment of the State of Israel because they want to rebuild the Masonic Temple there on Temple Mount? What would you say in response to that question?
I say absolutely correct. In Daniel or in Ezekiel 37, it's called the Dry Bones Prophet, and there God describes how He's bringing Israel back out of the graveyard of the nation. You know how he puts bone to bone and sinew to sinew and covers over the bones and then stands the whole host on its feet. But he says, but it is without spirit. And Protestant scholars have universally held that this means that it's without the Holy Spirit. And initially, it'll be brought back in a state of unbelief. And since the Holy Spirit, since Jesus' resurrection, speaks of Jesus and works on behalf of Jesus, then it means that Israel will be brought back in a state of unbelief in Jesus. And if you read the book of Revelation real close, you'll see that one of the major reasons Israel goes through about 7 years of tribulation is to open her eyes that she's accepted an Antichrist as their Messiah, and then to weed out all those Jewish unbelievers. The only Jewish people that are left alive is the one-third remnant that God protects. And so, yes, Israel has been brought back initially in a state of unbelief by the kind of Jew that Jesus talked about in Revelation 2 and 3. The Jews who say they are Jews, but they are not, they are of the synagogue of Satan.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go. We've got another call. We've got David calling us from Central New York. Hi, David. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I was wondering, what countries are the Masons most prevalent and strongest in? And are there any countries in the world where the Masons have not made inroads?
Okay, David, did you get the question?
Yeah, the number one nation on earth where Freemasonry is strong, Great Britain. And then, that includes, England, Scotland. Europe is just very heavily controlled by them. And the United States is good. The United States was founded by Masons. I mean, it was just a few years ago that the Congress passed a resolution thanking the 55 Masons that were, founding fathers who were Freemasons. And the Freemasons will say, oh, there's only three or four, maybe nine. Wrong. There were by the official Congress just a few years ago, there were 55. And so Masons, and you've got Masonic emblems all over Washington, D.C. We cover this in a beautiful DVD. I think you carry it, Stan, or you did. It's called Riddles and Stone, the Secret Architecture of Washington.
Yes, we do. Riddles and Stone is part of that DVD set on the Secret Mysteries.
Shows all of the Babylonian, the Chaldean, the Egyptian, the Babylonian gods and goddesses.
Okay.
And they're all over the place. And yeah. Baal is everywhere. His shaft is the Washington Monument. He's got busts of Baal all over the place. Baal symbols, oh my goodness. The Washington, D.C. is a city that is dedicated to Baal.
And most people have no idea of that. David, anything else you wanted to ask before we let you go? David's from Central New York.
How about our senators and congressmen and key people in government? That must be big then, what he just said.
Many of them are. George Bush was a skull and bone, Mason. President Obama is a 32nd degree Prince Hall Mason. There are Masons. The Masons are all throughout our government.
But, David, we never talk.
Our court system.
Most people have no idea. This is the tragedy. They have no idea about the spiritual aspect of the battle in which we're engaged. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Any repercussions to him for bringing out these things?
Any repercussions, David, for bringing out the things?
Well, there's a lot of spiritual warfare here, and we have seen a lot of doors to our DVDs open for a few seconds, open briefly, and then shut closed, and it's because the Masons are own these media companies
Well, hold that thought. We're going to have to let you go, David.
Okay.
Okay, David, let's see. We have John calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. And I need to preface that I read where John Stewart, the comedian, whose original name was Jonathan Liebowitz, was a graduate from College of William and Mary, and he's a very high-up Mason. And his brother is the head of the New York Stock Exchange. Do you have information on those people and
Wait a minute. One question at a time. David, do you know anything at all about the people he's mentioning?
I'm not sure of these two individuals he talked about.
Okay, fine. Anything else? John?
I didn't hear his answer.
David, do we want to give the answer again?
I said I'm not familiar with these two individuals he named.
Okay, fine.
But Masonry really controls Hollywood, the entertainment, industry, and business. Firm control on all the business levers in this country.
Okay, anything else, John?
No, that's fine. That's it.
God bless. Okay, well, David, we're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners before we let you go?
Well, I would just say that Freemasonry is a deadly organization, spiritually deadly, and they've done a wonderful job hiding that fact, denying it, convincing many people that's not true, but we show it from a very unique angle, and this is something that people need to see.
I really think it's so true, and the fact that nobody talks about this sort of thing, or we very, very rarely talk about it, is simply, I think, is a manifestation of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Now, basically, of course, one more time, what's the telephone number people can call if they'd like to get the DVD?
1-800-451-8211. Cutting Edge Minutes.
800-451-8211.
Yeah.
Okay, God bless. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
appreciate you being with us. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Okay. God bless.
Bye-bye. Okay, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been David Bay. And basically, if you'd like to get the video, the DVD, with certainly, the telephone number is 800-451-8211. And that, of course, is certainly on the Masonry, the First Degree. And again, the number is 800-451-8211. And it's really going to give you the background of this satanic religion. And millions of Americans are a part and parcel of this. It used to be 4 million, apparently, at the present time. It's down to 2 million. We don't know because everything is secret. But believe me, they permeate every aspect of our lives today. Now, we have this wonderful 3-CD set, a 3-DVD set, put out by a good friend of ours, and it's called The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. And actually, I'm in several of these DVDs, and we go into the background of certainly the dual influence when America was founded. Many of the founders, all the founders, most of the founders were Christian, but some of them were Masons as well. Some people say America was primarily a Christian nation. Some people say America was primarily a Masonic nation, and it was both. And the Masons had an entirely different agenda, forming this country because they wanted to use the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. The Christians wanted to form this nation because they wanted a Christian base to help evangelize the world. So you had those two competing forces. Initially, the Christians were on top, and then as time changed, why, of course, the occult took over, and they are total working control today, which is why my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is so important. But let me suggest that you may want to get the DVD entitled The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and then that's the part that I'm in, and then the Riddles in Stone, which takes you to Washington, D.C., as you'll see all of the occult manifestations there. There are two DVDs. They're vitally important. You need to get this information. You need to get this information out so people will begin to understand the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged today. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And my book, which gives you an excellent overview of what this is about, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will help you better to understand. Now, you can certainly get my DVD, where I actually give the talk from which the book came. I gave the talk, maybe 15 years ago, and some people called and said, we want to put that into a book. Well, we put probably between 50 and 100,000 copies of the book out. We just printed another 10,000 copies, and incidentally, if you bought a case of the books, they'll be going out here about another week or so. But we think it's so vitally important that people understand what we're up against today. And so if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, or simply to subscribe to our newsletter, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you can't, just simply join the Radio Liberty family. Why, we ask you to pray for our ministry, for our provision and protection, because we are on the front lines of the spiritual battle that is being waged behind the scenes today for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And I do believe we're in prophetic times. I do believe we're going to be moving into a major war in the Middle East. And how soon it's going to be, I can't tell you, but I will tell you, we are toppling all these countries, Egypt, Libya, and Tunisia, and we turned them over to the Muslim Brotherhood. We certainly overthrew the secular governments in both Algeria and in Iraq, and we turned them over to the Muslim Brotherhood. We transferred control of Turkey to the Muslim Brotherhood back in 2002. The Muslim Brotherhood is very, very strong, certainly in Lebanon today. But, of course, even we find, of course, the so-called freedom fighters in Syria. Other Islamic extremists. It's Al-Qaeda. We financed Al-Qaeda since its inception. If you doubt it, go up on the Internet and type in CIA funds Al-Qaeda. You'll find it's true. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
Let us all be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be views of Ellen Brown, who are going to be talking about what's going on financially in the world today. And certainly we see the situation over in Cyprus, where they are threatening to take about 40% or more of certainly of the deposits of the people with more than 100,000 euros in their bank accounts. And what this has done is created panic all across Europe, because if they can simply seize the bank deposits of people in Cyprus, can they seize the bank deposits of the people who have bank accounts in Greece or in Italy or in Spain or in Portugal or in France, because France is having very real financially problems. In fact, certainly the German economy is beginning to slow down. And then what sort of an impact will it have here in the United States? And most people say, well, that would never happen in the United States. And for the time being, it's not going to. After all, the Federal Reserve Board at the present time is simply creating $85 billion a month and putting $40 billion into buying mortgage bonds to stabilize our banks, and $45 billion a month buying up Treasury bonds. Why are they doing that? Why? Very simply because if they didn't do that, the Treasury wouldn't have any money to put out for your Social Security check. They wouldn't have any money to put out for your Medicare check. They wouldn't have any money to put out for, certainly for food stamps. They're creating almost $1 billion a year simply to try to keep America's economy afloat. Now, right now, we're not seeing the ravages of inflation, but down the line, I fear we will. Eleanor, what's your thoughts on what's really going on in America today and what people can do to protect themselves?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I agree that things are looking pretty dim. It looks to me like the whole Cyprus event was just a test case to see what would happen and how people would react. It's like a shot across the bow. They're the smallest of the EU country, or the Eurozone countries. There really wasn't much money at risk or involved. It was like 10 billion euros, which the ECB could have just fronted, just the same way that our Federal Reserve managed to put up 26 trillion, trillion for our banks at almost zero interest, basically just issuing them credit lines as needed to bail them out, and it worked for the banks, and no huge disaster happened here. The ECB could have done that just as easily. But they didn't,
Ellen, and I think you're absolutely right. You're the only person besides myself who said that this was a trial. There was no reason for this bailout of Cyprus. All they had to do was simply come up with the money, give it to them, and refund the banks. But they didn't do it. I think you're absolutely right. I think it was a trial run to see what would happen. Go right ahead.
And what did happen is really quite terrible for the... Originally, they were going to take the deposits. Well, they're going to give a haircut to the deposits of the insured and the uninsured depositors. So that would include, supposedly, there's a 100,000 euro limit for you're insured up to 100,000 euros, just like here in the U.S., you're insured up to $250,000 with your deposits. But what they wound up doing was taking the ones above 100,000 euros, because there was so much protest about the insurance deposits. But first of all, they thought about it. In other words, they were all ready to do that, and that was the trigger. That was the IMF, the EC, and the ECB. I mean, those were, if the IMF says it's all right to go after insured deposits.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
While a storm cloud gathers across the sea,
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ellen Brown. Ellen, go ahead and pick up the story, because I know you share my concern about what's happening, or at least I share your concern about what's happening financially. Why don't you pick us up and give your interpretation of the things that are taking place today and what lies ahead from the financial point of view?
Well, in Cyprus, the insured depositors, as it turned out, will not get haircuts or will not get a percentage taken out of their deposits. But the uninsured depositors are getting hit for 40%, and I just read that it might be up to 80%. And the uninsured depositors include the pension funds, because the pension funds have more than 100,000 euros. So just think to what that will do to the... So it's actually the Cyprus people that are getting hit with this. Apparently, the Russian oligarchs managed to get their money out of there because although the banks were closed in Cyprus, they were still open, or there were branches that were still open in London, and so they had their ways, I guess. So it's going to be the Cyprus people who are hit. It's obviously going to destroy their economy. There's no reasonable purpose for it unless it was as a test case, it seems.
Well, I hear, Chris, that they're beginning to put out limits how much money people can take out of the bank, something like 340 euros per day. Well, that's maybe enough for the average individual, but what happens if they want to buy something? What happens if you have a lot of employees and you want to pay your salaries? Well, are there going to be limitations as far as taking money out of the country? You're not going to be able to take your euros out of your own money out of your own country. What are all of these things going to do as far as the economy of Cyprus is going to do? And how will that impact on Cyprus?
Right. Well, for one thing, theoretically, the whole point of the Eurozone was that this currency was freely interchangeable among countries. So you've just killed the whole idea of the euro if you've got capital controls on it. I agree. It's totally going to destroy the country. Half their business is financial. And nobody's going to want a bank in Cyprus anymore. And then nobody's really going to want to be a tourist there either, I don't suppose, because, well, as I read somewhere, it was the Russian oligarchs who were living renting the big hotels. Nobody else can afford those big hotels. So, but what interests me is that who put them up to this? There's apparently the G20 Financial Stability Board, which was set up in 2009, they are the before them there was another committee that was just voluntary, but the G20 Financial Stability Board is mandatory, and they can impose regulations on the banks globally, and we signed on to that. So they can regulate our banks, even though we, the people, never elect, you know, never voted on it. It's like treaties. We don't vote on it. The best we do is vote on the people who make these decisions, but the people who make these decisions probably don't know what they just got themselves into. So anyway, they set out directives that everybody's supposed to have these bail-in directives set up. Bail-in means that instead of a bailout, where you will go to a third party to bail out the bank in the event of a major disaster like we just saw in 2008, if that happens again, instead of going to the government, you're supposed to go to your own people first. And the catch, the thing that people don't understand, is that we, the depositors, are considered creditors. We're not considered. We think we put our money there because it's safe and that they're holding our money for us. But that's legally, as soon as you put your money in the bank, it becomes the bank. They own it, and what you have is an IOU or a promise to pay. So the deal is they're supposed to give you your money on demand, and in good times that always works. But now, legally, they can say, well, we don't have the money. You know, we gambled it away, so we made some bad gambles. We don't have the money. The FDIC is broke. Congress has said in Dodd-Frank that they're not going to bail out any more big banks that have big derivative losses. So there's nobody else to turn to, so we'll just have to reduce our liabilities, in other words, sort of write off debts to our depositors. So, in effect, we wind up paying it for it, we the depositors. But those provisions are being set up all around the world. It's not like people think, oh, well, that was just a one-off thing that, you know, Cyprus got in a bunch of trouble and they shouldn't have done it and it won't happen here. But it wasn't. They've set up those provisions everywhere. New Zealand has a very clear, it's called an open resolution directive or something. Anyway, it very, very clearly says that they will take the depositor's money, and they do not have deposit insurance the way we do. So they're taking all the depositor's money. They can either do a haircut, which means they take a percentage, which is like a tax, or they can turn the deposits into equity or shares in the bank. So your fate rises and falls with the fate of this bank that you supposedly are a creditor of.
What's really so interesting, Ellen, is that over in Cyprus, they created a good bank and they created a bad bank. And they transferred all of the good assets to the good bank, and all of the bad assets they left in the bank, and they gave then the depositors who had their money taken from them shares in the value of a bad bank that didn't hold any assets worth anything at all. And so basically they've simply stolen their money. And they could do that here in the United States. And I agree with you. I think this is a trial run to see how it would work. We go right ahead.
Right. Well, in the United States, we have one. It's an FDIC Bank of England directive, and it talks about the bail-in, the need for a bail-in, that there could be a huge, some sort of big bank collapse, and that we can't afford to let the big bank collapse. If you read between the lines, it looks to me, it's pretty hard to read this stuff, you know, but it looks to me like what they're saying is that we can't let the big banks collapse, because if one goes down, there's now over $250 billion in notional value in derivatives out there. So if one big bank goes down, then the counterparties to those derivatives get to declare a default, and then they get to go and collect their money. That's the deal. So you can just imagine if JP Morgan, which is a counterparty on over $75 trillion in derivatives, if they make a really bad bet, they've made some bad bets, but let's say they made a really bad bet, and it could easily be like a $1 trillion issue, then all the counterparties are going to declare default, and they're going to want their money. And then that'll trigger more defaults and more defaults and more defaults. So the whole quadrillion-dollar, very fragile structure will come down. So their goal is to prevent that by keeping these banks' doors open by hook or by crook. And so they'll do it by crook, which is to steal their depositors' money, basically.
Well, I think it's really interesting. If you really look objectively at what's going on in America today, first, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company has about $25 billion, which, of course, is there to guarantee all the banking deposits in the United States. How much is there in banking deposits in the United States? About $9 trillion. So, basically, we've got $25 billion backing up $9 trillion in deposits. And as long as why the banks are stable, why we're in good shape. But what happens if suddenly the banks start going down? Suddenly, with $9 trillion in deposits and $25 billion to back to guarantee those $9 trillion, you don't have to be much of a genius to figure out that they have a real problem, don't they?
They do. And Sheila Bair said that they didn't have enough money for a big collapse. And that was before we had any major collapse. I mean, she was just saying hypothetically. So
now for our listeners out there, Sheila Bair was the head of the Federal Deposit Insurance Company at the height of the crisis in 2008. And she eventually resigned her position, long-time position, with certainly our banking system and with the Federal Reserve System. And then she came out and told the truth. And she said, this whole system is doomed to failure down the line. But go right ahead. I haven't heard from Sheila in some time. Have you?
Well, I do see her. She was on, I've seen videos of her that are recent. But, I lost my train of thought.
Well, actually, I did interview her on one occasion. She's a brilliant woman. I have the greatest respect for her. And she realized this whole system is as phony as a $3 bill. And sooner or later, it's going to all come down. The house of cards is going to crumble. But go right ahead,
right,
Ellen.
And somebody was telling me recently that he was a banker, and that they used to do old-fashioned banking where they very laboriously looked into your records and made sure that you were able to pay and, you know, checked out how you were going to pay and what you had. And then at some point, the big Wall Street bankers came in, and they said, oh, that's too much trouble. We're just going to take them all, and we'll just put them all in a big basket, and some of them will default. But because we're going to put them in this great big basket, overall, it'll be cheaper for us, too. It's kind of like the Pinto argument that it's cheaper to pay some fines than to fix the problem. So they put them all in this big basket, and they protected them with derivatives, supposedly, which are just bets. And then the derivatives scheme proved to not be viable. And so that's why they have this whole basket of toxic. Nobody's really doing banking anymore where they check whether you're creditworthy.
And the whole idea is just you had to have sufficient assets to back up when you took out a loan. But this is not true anymore. And we're setting ourselves up to destroy this system. Now, I don't know why they're doing it. It's illogical. I believe that the Brotherhood of Darkness wants to maintain the structure of our society, so to use our financial military power to bring about a world government. But obviously, there's another problem here as well. If you have a question, give us a call.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, Ellen, you go right ahead with your thoughts about what's going on today.
Well, from What's interesting to me is what would work or how we can fix it. Because you do hear so much doomsday stuff, and it's very gloomy. But I think it's if we could push the reset button, it's really quite possible to fix the whole thing. But what you need to do is basically get rid of the private banking system, where the reason that we've come to this pass is that it's a Ponzi scheme. I mean, it literally is a Ponzi scheme, and we've gotten to the exponential curve, the part that shoots straight up, and so they need more and more assets to keep this parasitic thing alive. And the reason it's a Ponzi scheme is that all of our money is created by banks, or 97% of it is created by banks when they make loans. And they always lend, they always take back more than they put out there. Over 30 years, they take back twice what they put out there or more. So because they didn't make that money in the first place, somebody has to take out another loan somewhere to cover the interest. So you have to have another loan and another loan. So it worked for a while, as long as you had new debtors, as long as you could go into the third world and lock them all into debt, and then they came back on us with the housing bubble and locked us into debt. And there have been housing bubbles all over the world that then collapsed, and the derivatives bubble, except, et cetera. It's like one bubble after another that is just numbers. It's numbers that grow into this pyramidal thing. But it's just mathematically impossible to sustain a pyramid scheme. So we're at the end there, where now they have to devour their own. Basically, they have to turn in on their own depositors. So it seems like it would have to be a huge risk for the bank, because if they take the deposits, who is going to put their money in a bank? And if they don't have any depositors, do they have a banking business? But I don't know. Maybe they'll just start ignoring making loans and do some sort of gambling business, because by then they'll probably own everything. But it does seem that, like, that's probably the reason that there's all these sort of scary things going on that look a lot like a police state, or like they're thinking about a police state with drones and you hear about FEMA camps and so forth. So it looks to me like they know that things are pretty shaky, and that the only way they can ultimately preserve this empire that they have is probably by force.
Well, I share your concern that I think we're entering a very, very difficult period here, and I really don't see that they have any way out. On the other hand, the banks have lots of money. They just aren't lending it. The corporations have lots of money. They're not... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Ellen was just discussing the background of our banking system. Of course, it's all built upon creating money out of nothing. That's what banks do. And basically, they're supposed to, of course, have a certain reserves behind the money that you... Let's imagine that you want to borrow $100,000. You put down $10,000, and they will actually then lend you the $100,000, but they create the money based upon the $10,000 you put down. In other words, that becomes the reserve for the $100,000 loan that they've made. Then if you deposit that $100,000 into the bank, well, then, of course, they can lend out certainly $1 million. And basically, this thing just keeps growing and growing and growing. But it's all based upon the original $10,000 you put down to buy the house. And basically, of course, the system works well for a time, until eventually it gets to the point where you have massive amounts of debt and no way to pay them off. And that's really in the position we are today. They've artificially created suddenly the bank deposits here in America. And basically the financial assets of this country are about $9 trillion. But then, of course, you take into all the other debts that we have. We got about $57 trillion in debts. And what's really behind that? Absolutely nothing. Our money is valued as if we have a small amount of gold and silver. At least they tell us that we do, but maybe they've already lent that out. Everything is in secret. We don't know, but we do know that the financial situation in this country is tenuous, because we're having to borrow over $1 trillion a year. just to keep the country going. How long can we do that? Remember, of course, when George Bush became president, the federal debt, the national debt, was about $5.7 trillion. When he left office 8 years later, he had increased the debt about $5 trillion up to about $10.7 trillion. And President Obama was able to increase the debt almost $6 trillion in simply 4 years. And things are going to get worse from here on. You can't keep running up debt that you'll never be able to repay. You can't do it as an individual. You can't do it as a nation. And they know exactly where they're going. But they're not going to tell you. They're creating suddenly almost $1 trillion a year right now to try to keep the thing from collapsing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, our guest is Ellen Brown. And Ellen, you go right ahead.
Well, I agree that the whole thing is tenuous, but it's because of the way our banking system's set up. You could actually have a sustainable system. In the Middle Ages, instead of borrowing the money and before you paid it out, the government just paid. They paid with tally sticks. And the Chinese did this when they first invented paper money. They just paid with the money was a receipt from the government against future taxes. So basically, it was the government needed things. They needed to pay their soldiers. They needed whatever goods and services. They didn't even have money in the Middle Ages. That, you know, the peasants didn't have the money. They paid with goods and services, and then they would get this receipt showing that they had made their contribution to the economy, and then they traded that receipt, and that was what the money was. And then when time came around, you could pay with the receipt because it was actually an advance against what you owed on the taxes later.
Well, at one time, of course, they used salt as a means of exchange, and that was the term. He wasn't worth his salt, and actually they paid us, our military, and they were paid in salt, which then they could exchange as it was certainly a means of exchange and substitute for money. And the term "he wasn't worth his salt" reflected the fact that salt was used in place of money at that time. But you need something that has intrinsic value. And that's why they use salt, because it had intrinsic value. Today we have paper money that isn't worth the paper it's printed on, but people haven't come to realize that. They will one of these days. It's going to be a cataclysmic event. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think that it's only really a matter of time. What are your thoughts, Ellen?
Well, I actually see it the other way, that the paper money, if done properly, it's a receipt. It's a receipt for real things, and it's backed by the real things that it was given for. And it's because we see money as something separate from the goods and services it represents that we have this whole debt crisis, because we feel we have to get that thing in order to trade. But you can just trade. You don't need the thing in order to trade.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
From the mouth.
5 is. Don't be late.
No.
Quiet with God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Ellen Brown. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment about the current financial system, why give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Ellen, before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get to your website and get your information?
My website is webofdebt.com, and I have over 200 articles on there on the subject or on banking and the financial issues. And then I'm president of the Public Banking Institute, and our website is publicbankinginstitute.org. We have a conference coming up on June 2nd to 4th in San Rafael, California, if you want to learn more about it. So you can go to our website on that.
And, Chris, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you believe, of course, that we had a public debt system, a public a banking system where, of course, banks would act responsible and under the government would act responsibly. Then we could cure the whole banking system, and we wouldn't have a private banks. Certainly, it would be the government that would create the credit and create the money that would be circulating and make the loans. Is that correct?
Correct. And it would be the government that would get the profits from this. So what you have right now, there are now between 21 and 32 trillion in offshore bank accounts right now, and it's largely Wall Street money. So what you have is this sort of siphoning effect where all the profits are getting siphoned out of the economy and they're not being fed back into it. But if you had interest-bearing loans, for the private loans would still be interest-bearing, but the interest would go back to the government. It would, first of all, it would defray our tax bill. It would make the government be virtually independent in terms of generating money. They don't need our taxes. And the government could use that money for their own infrastructure projects, so they could get infrastructure interest-free, which would cut the cost of infrastructure on average by 40%. And they could direct that money to the local economy to for low interest, reasonable loans for the local businesses instead of our money going to Wall Street, which then gambles with it in derivatives and things that not only are not serving our local economy, but are probably hurting our local economy. Plus, you'll know where your money is. You know where your government revenues are. They're not subject to suddenly being haircut or being confiscated as part of a bail-in thing that all of a sudden has been imposed by the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland.
All right. Well, we've got Joe calling from New Jersey. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Ellen is suggesting a situation where, of course, the government issues the money and makes the loans. Would that be a fair assessment?
Right. Well, my preference is state banks. Not
state
federal.
Banks, okay. State banks that make the create the money and make
or even
the
county. You could have county, city, anything local.
Okay, fine. Well, Joe, do you have a question or comment?
I have a question in regards to
pretty simple question, actually, but maybe it's just simple because of my ignorance. However, let me just try to state it as best I can. It's a concept that I'm thinking about. If they lend out $10,000, and let's say at 5%, so that's $500. So where does the $500 come from since there's only $10,000 in circulation?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it eventually, it has to collapse?
That is the whole Ponzi scheme nature of the system. But if it were a public system, you see, the 500 would go back to, let's say it was a public bank, and it was paid back to the public bank, then because it would be part of the government could then spend that money into the economy. That was actually the original model of a public bank in Pennsylvania in Benjamin Franklin's day, where the government had the power to issue the money. You know, they issued the paper script like all the colonies did. But instead of just printing and spending and printing and spending, they would issue and lend most of it to the farmers at 5%. But then they would spend some extra on roads and bridges and the things that they had to spend for government purposes. So then you had enough money out there. They actually created the interest along with the principal. So you had enough money out there to pay back principal and interest, and then you could lend the principal all over again and spend the interest all over again, and it would all come back as principal and interest. So you didn't actually have to increase the money supply. There is a way to make the math work, but not if the profits are being siphoned off and not being returned to the system.
Okay, Joe, does that answer your question?
Well, I'm sorry to say that I really couldn't hear your guest very well. And what it seems to me to be, you just have to keep on. There actually has to be a continuous stream of borrowers in order to generate this particular interest money. And eventually, to me, I see it as eventually has to collapse.
Well, the system that we have today has to collapse. Well, the system that, of course, Ellen is suggesting is one that would be run by your local community, by your county, by your city, by your state. And if they acted responsibly, of course, there's nothing wrong with banking. It's simply the irresponsible positions that they're taking today where they're lending money when there's not adequate security. You can't lend money unless you know that that money is secure. And unfortunately, that is not the situation today. So the system we have today is bound to collapse. Would you agree with that, Ellen? The current system is going to collapse one way or another?
I do agree, and that I think that's why they're doing all these bail-in things, that they're anticipating that, and they're setting it up, because the Dodd-Frank legislation to regulate the banks specifically says that they're not going to, the taxpayer money is not going to bail a big bank out that has a derivatives failure, and that we, in Europe, they've just said that the Dutch finance minister, who was one of the key players in doing this bail-in arrangement in Cyprus, said that this was going to be the ideal is to not use, this is getting complicated, but not, to not use the European Stability Mechanism, which was the thing they set up to bail out the banks in Europe. So they're not going to bail out the banks in Europe either. And instead, they're going to use this model that they've set up in Cyprus.
Well, Joe, I really think that the people behind the scenes, what I call them, the Brotherhood of Darkness, want a one-world government. They want a one-world financial system. But how can you bring about a one-world financial system based upon what we have today? You can't. And basically, you've got to replace this with a one-world financial system. And when they do that, this whole house of cards is coming down. But they certainly want a one-world government, a one-world financial system. And they certainly want to destroy Christianity because, of course, they're powerful spirits and forces that are energizing the movement. Anything else, Joe?
Well, I guess, I have a lot to learn about economics. I mean, it's an ongoing challenge to understand this. And, well, from my particular background, because I don't have an education in it, so I'm trying to learn it piecemeal.
Okay,
as I listen and I read.
You just keep listening to our program, and basically we'll get some real smart people on here. And Ellen is very, very well-versed in this. She studies this a great deal. And do you have access to a computer, Joe?
Yes, I do. Okay. As a matter of fact, that's how I listen to you.
Okay, Ellen, once again, why don't you tell Joe how he can get to your website and get your information?
Yeah, well, I have lots of articles starting at the beginning on webofdebt.com. And, in fact, of course, my book is called Web of Debt, which also is said to be readable and understandable. And then another website that I'm president of, the Public Banking Institute. So our website is publicbankinginstitute.org.
Okay, Joe, did you get that?
Yeah, I do. You know, as a matter of fact, I have Ellen's website, Web of Debt, and because I did hear her at one other time being interviewed. I don't know whether it was on your program, Dr. Stan, or whoever, but I do have her website. And what is also interesting is how it has to collapse, because the way I also understand it, it's the fractional reserve system that is basically at fault. Could that be correct?
Right, it is the math of it, but I actually think that the fractional reserve part is the good part. In other words, I think you need a credit system. You need a system in which you can turn your promise to pay into credit. And the reason we have all these problems right now is because we have a liquidity problem. They're always pretending to be lending some money that they don't really have. But
right.
If you acknowledge that all we're doing here is turning credit into money, instead of thinking that you have to get it from somewhere else, you know, they always make the loans first. Before that, they don't even look to see what kind of money they have or what kind of reserves they have. They just make the loan to any creditworthy borrower or non-creditworthy borrower these days. And then the only time they actually need to borrow the money is to clear the check. And so to clear the check, they have to have the reserves, and then they move the reserves from Bank A to Bank B, where the check just went to. And then they can borrow the reserves back from Bank B that they just created, basically. So it's all this sleight of hand going on, and periodically they get caught in their sleight of hand, and that's when you have a bank run. But if you just acknowledge that what's really going on here is that the function of a bank is to monetize debt, or to assess the creditworthiness of a borrower, determine whether he's going to pay it back, and then you give him these little paper receipts that he's allowed to go out and spend in the economy, and he'll tell you how he's going to pay it back, and he will.
But I think that this is the traditional way that it was done. One of the big problems we have today is that the major banks have large assets, and they're not lending it out, basically. They're lending it to the Federal Reserve System, getting maybe 1% or 0.25% interest, but they're not lending money. And suddenly the major corporations, all of which belong to the Brotherhood of Darkness, have large sums of money deposited in banks, but they're not simply lending it out. They wanted the economy to be booming. Our economy could boom tomorrow simply by making money from the banks readily available, by corporations being involved. But until people understand, they all interlock into what I call the Brotherhood. And if you doubt that, you need to read my book. You need to get the membership list. Certainly you can go up on the internet and look up trilateral.org, look at their logo, and you'll find it is an upside-down broken cross of the same emblem that was used when the time Christ was crucified several thousand years ago. It's an ancient mystical emblem. Why would they make that the logo in the center of the Trilateral Commission's logo there on the internet? Look it up and find out that, of course, if you're looking at things from a logical point of view, they don't make sense. If you look at it from the point of view of the spiritual point of view, it makes a great deal of sense, especially today. Anything else, Joe, before we let you go?
Here's another thing I would like to run by yourself and your guest, Ellen. This is what else I've come to understand and hopefully learned. The part of the system, actually, they actually need us as the people to borrow the money, because it is our the power in our signature actually creates the money.
Correct. And right, they do need the borrowers, and that's supposedly why they're not lending. Well, it's because they don't have the capital, first of all. It's one thing to have the reserves or to have all these deposits, but they have capital requirements that are imposed from Switzerland, but they also need the borrowers, and they need creditworthy borrowers because they've got all these regulators hovering over them these days, I understand. But yeah, I agree that we have the power to create money ourselves. That it's actually the borrower who creates the money. And we
sure, we're our signature, because that's where that promise to pay $10,000 to them is a $10,000 asset,
right?
Which they now can take that $10,000 and lend out $9,000 of it, and only keep $1,000 on deposit. Which actually, the $1,000 is really not there, because that's your signature that created it, and it's really not there.
Right, and but
crazy.
I think that actually is what money should be. But you should go to a reputable, you know, it should be a public bank. You go to the public bank and turn your promissory note into money, which is how banking actually works today. But they have this whole sleight of hand thing going on that's always catching them up with this idea that it has to be backed by something. So you have to borrow the money somewhere after the
fact. Because it's backed only by faith. With no real assets.
But there has to be assets. If you do not have assets behind you have no guarantee you're going to get paid back. Okay, thanks very much, Joe.
Well, but our assets used to be backed by something which was a substantial substance.
Right.
Now this dollar has got no substance to it whatsoever.
Well,
all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Certainly, at one time we had a solid solvent, certainly effective banking system, and America prospered. But then, of course, you could not simply create money out of nothing. Certainly, our money had a foundation, but of course, then of course we got away from that, and where we are today, the dollar that existed in 1913 no longer exists. They've destroyed 96% of the value of that money, and we have certainly today a totally fraudulent money system where they can create trillions of dollars certainly secretly, and they do this all the time. We have no idea what the Federal Reserve is doing, but we did find out certainly after the 2008 crisis that they'd created some, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Ellen, they'd created about $16 trillion and given it to banks all over the world to try to maintain the stability of the banking system. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yes and no. I mean, they did advance $16 trillion in loans to the banks, but these were one-day loans rolled over. So really what it was just a credit line. Basically what they did was advance or give them an overdraft on their account. So it's not like they gave them $16
Okay, fine. So they did not give them the money. They gave them a $16 credit. $16 trillion.
Yeah.
And how long did that last?
I'm not sure. Do you know?
No, I don't know. That's why I was hoping you did.
It was over a span of years, yeah.
Okay,
fine.
But
the thing is, they could have done that in Cyprus. They could do that for the states and for the local governments that are bankrupt. If we had a public banking system, that's what you could do. You could just advance the credit to the creditworthy borrowers.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a real problem, because I do believe that the banking system and the people who control the banking system have a different agenda. Remember, we have six major banks, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. They control about almost 70% of the assets of this, of the financial assets, banking assets of our nation, and the other 5,800 banks control a little over 30%. Well, Ellen, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I continue to be an optimist in the sense that I think the system could be saved, but we do have to push the reset button. It cannot be saved in its current
state. Do you really think that the people in charge would allow this whole system to be changed? I mean, they have a vested interest in maintaining it as long as they can. They're not going to give up their power. Do you really think they will?
Well, I think it would have to be at the local level. I don't think anything's going to happen at the federal level unless it absolutely has to. I mean, I can well imagine that there would be another Lehman Brothers type collapse. In fact, you could argue that the Cyprus thing was a Lehman Brothers moment, because it was at Lehman Brothers when the government said, that's it, we're not going to bail anymore out. And then we had this big crisis. So that's what they did in Cyprus. They said, that's it, we're not going to bail out any more banks. And we'll see what effect it has on the EU. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eurozone, if it falls apart.
How did the bank in North Dakota do? Don't they have a state bank?
Yeah, they're the only state that came through with flying colors. In other words, they had a major budget surplus every year since 2008. They had have the lowest unemployment rate in the country. They had the lowest default rate on loans. I can't remember. They have several other of the lowest. Anyway, they do. It works because the Bank of North Dakota is where the government puts its revenues, and then they leverage their revenues and their capital into credit for the state itself. And they partner with the local banks. So it's really the local banks that are making the loans, but the Bank of North Dakota guarantees them and participates in the loan and reduces the interest rate for the borrowers. So particularly, like, they give 1% loans to startup farmers and different things that are needed in the community. When they have something like a flood, they've had a couple of really major floods, the Bank of North Dakota is right there. They help the homeowners. They help rebuild. You don't have to deal with FEMA. You don't have to deal with an insurance company that's telling you that, sorry, you're excluded because it wasn't the right kind of flood or something. So it just, the whole thing, they've got their own credit machine for their own state. They didn't get into the subprime problem because the banks didn't need to do that. They didn't need to sell off their loans because they had the Bank of North Dakota backing them. So they had basically a state guarantee for their loans. So they did still do the Jimmy Stewart type.
Well, we're out of time. We're out of time, Ellen. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us this evening.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Ellen was talking about the Bank of North Dakota. Now, most people don't know that they have a state bank there. And they have one of the best economies in the entire nation. Certainly, they actually have run a surplus. The state runs a surplus every year, and the bank helps to produce that. And if you want to study what Ellen is talking about, why, of course, the Bank of North Dakota is the prototype of the type of banking system we should have in America and we don't have, and I do not believe the Brotherhood is going to allow it. Well, under any circumstances, at least Ellen has some suggestions of what could be done and what should be done. And then we have to ask, why aren't we doing it? Well, very simply, because we have a small group of wealthy and powerful people who run this country, and they call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to verify what we're saying, that this little group, the Trilateral Commission, controls everything in this country. As Barry Goldwater said in his book With No Apologies, and you can get the book, used copies from us. On page 280, Barry Goldwater in 1979 says, the purpose of the Trilateral Commission is to seize control of the economic and political power, and he's referring to the world, by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. Those are his words, not mine. They've done it, and nobody's going to tell you that, and this is why we're in the trouble we are today. And certainly, between 1977 and 2008, every president and or vice president came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. Certainly, six of the eight presidents of the World Bank, including the current one, is a member of the Trilateral Commission. Eight of the 10 U.S. World Trade Representatives, 7 of the 12 Secretaries of State, and 9 of the Secretaries of Defense came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. And their logo is certainly, if you look very carefully, three sixes joined together, while their arrows sort of in the shape of sixes. But there's no question, joined together in the center by the upside down broken cross, which is the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. Why is that the logo of the Trilateral Commission? Because it is part of the spiritual force working behind the scenes to bring about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and destroy Christianity. When you understand that, it all makes sense. If you'd like to get through, certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can get the DVD there by the same name, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, where he tells you about the secret cabal and what they're doing and how his daughters go down to build, visit Fidel Castro, and Fidel comes up to visit David. Why would that be? Well, ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get other information we have on the invisible government that controls our society. Certainly, you need to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, on population control, the covert agenda. Let me suggest a syllabus that goes with my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. You need to get this information. You need to get the documentation. If you want to know how they're poisoning your children, you need to get my talk on fluoride, the hidden agenda. Fluoride, the hidden agenda. And get the syllabus that goes with that. It's really very important. And then, of course, you need to get my talk on vaccines, the specter haunting America. Vaccines, the specter haunting America. You need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that America is under attack today. They've already killed countless millions of our people. They're going to take us into a great war in the Middle East. It's not a matter of if, but when. And that is, of course, why we're toppling all the governments over there and turning them over to the Muslim Brotherhood and then financing the Muslim Brotherhood so we can have a war. This is what we did with World War II, financing the Nazis both before and during the war. American corporations building the weapons used to kill our boys. The book, America's Nazi Secret, America's Nazi Secret, are the power elite and the secret Nazi plan, and World and Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. You're in the right place. Yeah, this is not the 101 course. It's more like the 103 or the 104 course. This is more for advanced students, if you will. If you understand how the elite, those in the background, those behind the curtain, are trying to control the people on a daily basis, then you're in the right place. If you still think that if we can just get our guy into the White House, everything will be all right, you probably aren't going to feel comfortable at the Power Hour, because it's not about that. It's not about red state, blue state. It's not about, oh, the markets will come back. They're just having a little downtime. The Nikkei's down 1.26% today. Oh, but that Dow is up. Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's up in the green arrow division for the start at 8:30 Central Time today. How do they do it?